Good morning, church. Scripture for this morning's sermon will come from the book of Romans. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Romans 12, 1 through 3. I'll be reading from the, I believe it's the NIV here. No, the KJV. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace of God, and through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according to God, as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith.
We're going to be in 2 Samuel chapter 6. 2 Samuel chapter 6, if you turn there. I was thinking this week, I want to say good morning to you, church. Somebody told me today, the other day, they said, Quinn, you know, you should greet us and say just good morning. I'm here to say good morning. Yeah, I'm excited to be here because all week we have been building up to be here to meet God and worship Him with our heart, our minds, and our soul, and our strength, and it is just an exciting time. Isn't that exciting to worship God? Amen?
Amen.
It is good to, God has been so good to us, and I think it's awesome that we have the opportunity to give back, not just on Sunday, but throughout the week as well. I've been thinking this week of the different things that I dedicate myself toward in my life. Like, there's a lot of things that we dedicate ourselves to in this life. We dedicate ourselves to our incomes, our retirement, if you so speak, and our retirement, we try to get this safe nest. And nothing's wrong with these things. We also dedicate ourselves to our finances, our retirement. We also dedicate ourselves to our children and different things of that nature. We dedicate our hard-earned hours and time ensuring that our children have the best education. We make sure that the schools they go to, we want to meet the teachers. Some of us send our children to private schools, some send them to Christian schools, and we send them to the best schools in the district so that we can ensure that our children are getting the best education. Also, we save up money to take care of our children. We want to pay for their college. We want to buy them a car. We want to ensure prosperity for our children, and therefore we dedicate ourselves to our children, to our families, to our friends, to so many different things. We also dedicate our lives to our passions, our hobbies, our sports, maybe our health, our wealth, our just different things we dedicate ourselves to in this life. When I think of dedication and dedicating, I think of the sports figures. A lot of times I think of Michael Phelps, Usain Bolt. I think of Michael Jordan. Kind of like Michael Jordan. I'll stick with Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan, some view him as the greatest basketball player that ever played the game, and we think of him being dedicated to the sport. He was dedicated, but he wasn't dedicated just because he shot a basketball, and he wasn't the greatest player because he shot a basketball every day. He wasn't the greatest basketball player because he practiced every day, or he was good at shooting a basketball. But what made Michael Jordan so great at basketball was everything he did before he got to that point. I think of school teachers. I think of police officers. I think of all these different, I think of armed soldiers, the different things they put themselves, they dedicate themselves in so many different ways. But the finished product isn't what makes them great. Because Michael Jordan shoots a basketball, that doesn't make him great. What makes him great is the hours and the time that he has put in before he's gotten to the point, the finished product. And the same goes with us. There are so many different things that we dedicate ourselves to in this life. And again, sticking with the Michael Jordan, what makes him great is the strategy, his mindset, his strength, the core training, the things that he prepares, his meal plan, the things he puts inside of his body so that it can be working at optimal speeds and functioning. All these different things, the obedience and the discipline he had to that craft that we see, the final product that we see as great. The things we dedicate ourselves to in this life. I want you to be thinking about that as we go through. The things we dedicate ourselves to. But even more important, I think this is more important than our children, the way we dedicate ourselves to our spouses, our finances. Even more important than all of those things, even combined, is the way we dedicate ourselves to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
It is vital. Okay, I want us to make sure we get this. It is important the way we dedicate ourselves to the Lord. It is vital because salvation and damnation rides on our dedication. Life and death rides on our dedication and how that is to the Lord. Some of us in this room would say, you know, I'm dedicated to the Lord. I go to church. I've been going. I haven't missed a Sunday in 10, 15, 20, 45, 65, 100 years. Some of us. I haven't missed a Sunday. I pray every day. I read my Bible every day. I do all these things. I am dedicated to the Lord. And I'm not trying to sound harsh. I'm not trying to be mean or be reckless with my speech, but I'm here to say God is relaying a message to tell every one of us in this room and myself. Just because you go to church does not mean that you are dedicated to the Lord. That is not an accurate measure of your faith or your dedication to the Lord. I don't care if you're a deacon. I don't care if you're an elder. I don't care if you're up here preaching every Sunday. That is not an accurate measure of whether you are dedicated to the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
I mean, some of us in here in this room would say, yeah, we're dedicated. But some of us in this room, when we come here to worship, that's assuming if we're even worshiping while we're in here in the building. I mean, I would say a quarter of us in this room today may not be focused on worship. We may be distracted with what we have going on outside, with our families, the issues, the different things that we dedicate ourselves to, our passions, our hobbies, all these different things. So how we dedicate ourselves to the Lord is vital. It's important. So important. And I want to start with I want to jump in 2 Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter 6. That's where we're going to be. 2 Samuel chapter 6. 2 Samuel chapter 6. I want to draw from an Old Testament account that happened. And in this account, in 2 Samuel chapter 6, they are transporting the Ark of the Covenant, or the Ark of God, to the city of Jerusalem. That's where they're taking this cart. They're taking the Ark of the Covenant to the city of Jerusalem. And I want us to, as we go through this story and this account, I want us to read it. I want us to take note of what's happening and what's going on, because we're going to dive in. It doesn't give you all the information here, but we're going to gather that information as we go. So I want us to be thinking, do we even know how to begin? Do we even know how to start increasing our dedication to the Lord? Do we even know how to do that? And I think it's important that we know how. So the first part, I would say there's millions of ways or thousands of ways that we can dedicate ourselves to the Lord, but I'm only going to go over just three due to time. And the first is we can dedicate ourselves to the Lord in our knowledge and understanding and knowing. And in chapter 6 of 2 Samuel reads this. It says, "Now David again gathered all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people who were with him at Baal Judah, to bring up from there the Ark of God, which is called by the name, the very name of the Lord of hosts, who is enthroned above the cherubim. They placed the Ark of God on a cart, that they might bring it from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, and Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, were leading the cart. So they brought it with the ark of God from the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, and Ahio was walking ahead of the cart of the ark. Meanwhile, David and all the house of Israel were celebrating before the Lord. They had all kinds of instruments made of fir wood, and their lyres and their harps and their tambourines and their castanets and their cymbals, all these different things. They were celebrating. In verse 6, he says, "But when they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out toward the ark of God and took hold of it. For the oxen nearly upset it, and the anger of the Lord burned against Uzzah, and God struck him down there for his irreverence," or King James would say his error, "and he died there by the ark of God." David became angry because of the Lord's outburst against Uzzah, and that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. So David was afraid, verse 9, David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, "How can the ark of the Lord come to me? Like, on my watch, how is this happening? How does this come to me?" And David was unwilling to move the cart of the ark of the Lord into the city of David with him. But David took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. Thus the ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all of his household. So we got this account that's going on. We have these men transporting the ark. They're transporting the ark, and they're going down the hill. The ark is on the back of these oxen, or on a cart, and they're traveling. And something happened, maybe that ox hit the bump or something, and the Ark of the Covenant is unstable, and Uzzah reaches out, stabilizes the ark, and boom, dies. Whoa. Can you imagine being there, like, "Whoa, God, chill out, bro. 0 to 100 real fast. Like, calm down. God is got some anger issues over here, right?" And it's like, "Chill, God." But that's not the whole story. So now I want to take parts of this, because the way we dedicate ourselves to the Lord is vital. It's vital. So go to Exodus chapter 25 with me. We're going to take a trip here. Exodus 25, verse 14. This is some of the ways that the Ark of the Covenant, some of the rules and the expectations that were for the Ark of the Covenant. We're just going to hit the highlights for time's sake. Exodus 25, verse 12 says, this is the rules of the covenant. "You shall cast four," or can we get the, there we go. That's the Ark of, that's not the Ark of the Covenant, but Ark of the Covenant, that's what it looked like. So it says, "You shall cast four rings." So you see the four rings. I don't have my little thing. You see the four rings at the poles around, two on each side. "You shall cast four rings for it and fasten them on its 4 feet. And the two rings shall be on one side, and the other two rings on the other side. Verse 13, "You shall make poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. You shall put the poles into the rings on the sides of the ark," which you can see, to carry the ark with them. Verse 15, "The poles shall remain in the rings of the ark. They shall not be removed from it." Now, jump over to Numbers chapter 4. Numbers chapter 4. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Numbers chapter 4. Again, this is some of the things that when I say it is important, the way we dedicate ourselves to the Lord is vital. It's vital, and the way we can increase is, one, getting knowledge. We have to know what we need to be doing in order to please the Lord. Amen. We got to know what we're. You got to know what you're doing before you can please the Lord. Otherwise, if you don't have the knowledge, then you won't know how to do it. Is what he's saying. So we have to have this knowledge of how to do and what we've been told to do, because God has never left it up for humans to find their own way. Chapter 4 of Numbers, it says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses and to the son and to Aaron, saying, Take a census of the descendants of Kohath from among the sons of Levi by their families, by their fathers' households, from 30 years old upward, even to 50 years old, and all who entered the service to do the work in the tent of meeting. This is the work of the descendants of Kohath in the tent of meeting concerning the most holy things. This is what they should do to the most holy things, okay? So he says, guys, I need you guys to go in here and transport the ark. This is the rules for the Ark of the Covenant. I need you guys to go in, pull from the Aaron, Moses, go pull from the tribe of Levi. Didn't say from any other tribe, the tribe of Levi. And from them, I need you to get Kohath. I need to get you those descendants, because those are the only people who should be carrying the Ark of the Covenant. Period. So he's given us rules. They have knowledge of what they should be doing. And this is King David, so he's the leader. He should definitely know what they should be doing. Then drop down to verse 5. He says, when the camp sets out, Aaron and his sons shall go in, and they shall take down the veil of the screen and the cover, and cover the Ark of the Testimony with it. So they are to, when they're transporting the Ark of the Covenant, they should cover it with porpoise skin. You can read through all that, but I'm not going to read through all of it, but I'm talking about how we should have knowledge of transporting, but we're going to skip some of this right now. Verse 15, jump to verse 15. When Aaron and his sons finished covering the holy objects and all the furnishings of the sanctuary, when the camp is to set out, when they are about to go somewhere or travel somewhere, after that the sons of Kohath shall come to carry them, so that they will not touch the holy objects and die. There's the rules right there. Then he drops down to verse 17. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, do not let the tribe of the families of the Kohathites to be cut off from among the Levites, because they need to carry the Ark of the Covenant. But do this to them, that they may live and not die when they approach the most holy objects. Aaron and his sons shall go in and assign each of them to his work and to his load. But they shall not go in to see the holy objects even for a moment. Because if they go in just for a moment, guess what? They will die. They will die. Now let's fast forward back to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. So we got the rules for the Ark of the Covenant. Levites are the only ones that should be coming. From the Levites, the Kohathites should be carrying it. So if we're going to dedicate ourselves to the Lord, not just carrying the Ark of the Covenant, but the things that we prepare and discipline ourselves in before we get there, here's what we're supposed to be doing. We know what we're supposed to be doing. Verse 3 says, and they place the Ark of the Covenant of God on a new cart. Mistake number one. We're supposed to be carrying it on the shoulders of the Kohathites. Should be carrying it, four of them. Should be carrying them by the poles. That's the first rule. He says they placed the Ark of God on a new cart. Disobedience number one. So that they might bring it to the house of Abinadab, which was on a hill. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons, were leading the cart. Shouldn't be leading the cart. They're not even from the tribe of Levi. Then he goes on and says, Meanwhile, David and all the house of Israel were celebrating before the Lord with all kinds of instruments, made of firewood, lyres, harps. So doesn't that sound like us? Like, we know what God has told us to do, but we're celebrating, enjoying ourselves, having a good old time. I'm out here having fun with my family, having fun with my friends, dedicating myself to all the things that I love to do. My passions, I love riding bikes, I like going swimming, I like jogging a little bit. You know, we like doing these things. Like kicking it with Sarah, beating her in chess. We love doing these things. Nathan's like, you can't beat me. But anyway, so we love, enjoy doing these different things. We love it. You know, we're enjoying ourselves. We're celebrating, for we live today and then we die tomorrow. Amen? And we enjoy ourselves and all these passions. And then it's crazy when something crazy happens. It's like, whoa, God, where are you? Something's going on in my life. I need help and you're not here to help me. Well, I would be here to help you, but you've been out celebrating, doing what you want to do. Having fun with your friends, dedicating your life to your passions, your hobbies, your children, paying for school, and none of those things are wrong, but when it takes precedence over God, we have an issue. Meanwhile, verse 5, meanwhile David and all the house of Israel were celebrating before the Lord with all kinds of instruments. And then verse 6, but when they came to the threshing floor, Nacon, Uzzah reached out toward the ark of God and took hold of it, for an oxen nearly upset it, and the anger of the Lord burned against Uzzah, and God struck him down for his irreverence and his error. David became angry, and he died there before the Lord. Whoa! And before you guys start giving Uzzah the benefit of the doubt, because I know some of us are like, well, he was doing a noble thing. He was just trying to help the cart. He didn't want the Ark of the Covenant to fall. First off, another error is the Ark of the Covenant was supposed to be covered. So if something were to happen, like it just happened, and he touched the Ark, it's covered, there's a barrier, no one dies today. But we weren't dedicating ourselves to the knowledge and knowing what they should have been doing. But before we give him the benefit of the doubt, this word irreverence, or King James says error, this word literally means bold, violent, haughty, arrogant, and stiff-hearted. So he was stiff-hearted. Have you ever had that arrogant attitude where we know what we are supposed to be doing, we know what protocol is, and then when somebody does something, we want to show how good we are, we want to kind of strut our status a little bit. And when something happens, we go on and do the opposite just to show that we're bold. And I got it like that. I've been there, and I've done it a few times. And every time I try to do it, something bad happens. And Uzzah, he's saying, you know, oh, the ark is falling over. I know I'm not supposed to touch it, but when I touch it and I set it straight, I'm the man. Ooh, bam. Dies. Oops. Oops. That's kind of major. We can't treat God like our little buddy. He's beyond that. Far beyond that. And so when we are worshiping the Lord, when we are dedicating ourselves to the Lord, we better know what we're supposed to be doing. Because if you don't know what you're doing, you will die spiritually. If you're going to be arrogant. And let's look at David. David gets angry. David, why are you getting angry? He's disrespecting your God, the one who placed you as a king. He's disrespecting you. Our God, your man of Israel is disrespecting the God we serve. And you're gonna get mad at God for striking him down? So where's your heart at, David? Because you haven't been obedient to what you should be doing. And it's, again, the way we dedicate ourselves to the Lord is vital. And the way we increase our dedication is knowing, and in that knowledge, not only in that knowledge, but also in our discipline and our obedience. If David was disciplined in his obedience as a leader of the nation, this would have never happened and occurred. Because he would have knew the law, it would have been carried on a cart, it would have been carried by men and the Kohathites. And then it would have been transported in the way it should have been transported. But how many times in our lives do we try to take it upon ourselves and say, you know, I think God would be okay with this? Knowing we already have the written law. We have God's word. We don't have to think. We just have to be obedient to the word. Amen?
Amen.
That's all we have to do is be obedient. Now let's take it. Now let's make that transfer to real life, our spiritual lives. Men, women, when we are leaders of our families, as David was leaders, he was a leader of the nation of Israel. If we're leaders in our homes, and we don't take the correct way in dedicating ourselves to the Lord, guess what's going to happen to our children? They will die spiritually. Everybody's going to die physically, but they will die spiritually. No one wants that to happen. More important than our 401k, Roth IRAs, more important than your retirement, more important than your children's education, more important than the air you breathe, is the way we dedicate ourselves to the Lord. It's vital. Salvation, life, and death is riding on our dedication to the Lord. He says in 1 John, or in John chapter 14, 23, I believe, he says, if you love me, you will what? Keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Philippians. Go to Philippians chapter 1. Why am I distracted with lunch? You guys, I'm thinking, man, they're probably getting ready for the ready. I'm like, I'm taking too long, but I'm going to take my time. Amen? Can I take my time? I was like, you know what? It's getting time. They're going to eat. Forget that. We're dedicating ourselves to the Lord today. We might not get lunch today. Y'all laugh now, but some of y'all are like, no, really. I'll get up and leave. Let's go to Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. It says this. For God is, verse 9, he says, and this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God. Wow. So how do we become more knowledgeable? How do we dedicate ourselves more? We love and follow the commandments. Why? Not for our own good, but it is for our own good, but so we can approve the things that are excellent. If you want to show God, if you want to show people God and show him how excellent it is, he says, abound in your love and your obedience and be disciplined in your obedience, he says. Because if you're not disciplined in your obedience, you will never dedicate yourself to anything. And if you have no knowledge of what it is, why dedicate yourself to something you have no knowledge about? So he says, discipline yourself, understand, have the knowledge, and then discipline yourself in the obedience so that you can approve the things. Well, how do we approve those things? Verse 5 of chapter 1 in Philippians, he says, in view of your participation, that is dedicating and perfecting the craft and the art of serving and participating in the sufferings of Christ Jesus. So how? He says, having knowledge. And then not only having knowledge, but being obedient to the, being disciplined to the obedience and your obedience to God. Was Uzzah being obedient to God? Absolutely not. He knew he shouldn't have been touching it. He knew the ark shouldn't have been in it. He shouldn't have been touching close to it anyway, because the Kohathites should have been carrying it. He wasn't obedient. And look what happened. Look what happened. But not only do we have to have that knowledge, not only do we have to have the obedience, but we also need to understand that we are a living sacrifice. We are the living sacrifice. Go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. How do we increase in our areas of dedicating ourselves to the Lord, in the knowledge, in our obedience, and also in being a living and holy sacrifice to the Lord? Chapter 12 reads this. It's, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And this word present means to surrender all ownership of future use. You no longer own yourself when you have dedicated yourself to the Lord. The only thing you should be doing is training, preparing mentally, emotionally, physically on how we can be better for the Lord. And I'm here to say, I don't have it all together. Amen? Oh, that may be loud. I really don't have it all. I'm being serious. I really don't have it all together. I really don't have it all together. But I know what I'm striving for. I'm striving for perfection, and I'm never going to get there. And I'm striving to be that sacrifice, living for God day in and day out. So when you see Quentin here in worship, this is not my dedication right here. But the hours I put in trying to be patient and being loving and kind and treating my wife well. And these are challenges day in and day out. So when you see me, this is, I'm still in the process, and it's been years and years and years of work. Man. But we got to dedicate ourselves and present ourselves, holy sacrifice, and reminding ourselves in the knowledge and being obedient to making ourselves that holy sacrifice for God. And he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is. Sometimes this becomes a laborious task, and we get into, we want to know so much about the will of God, and we get so bogged down in the will of God that we forget to have the joy that we once had in the Lord, because we're focused so much on trying to do this will of God. I'm trying to do it, and it gets frustrating. But he says, go back and remember the love that you had with the Lord in the beginning, and keep that and maintain that love, because it gets boring, and it's like I said, it's a laborious task at times to serve the Lord, it seems. But when I realize I don't own myself, then it's not really a task at all. I'm only glorifying and doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm loving doing it because others are elevated. Amen? Others are elevated. He says, to prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect, for through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think as to the sound judgment, as God has allotted each a measure of faith. Just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are in one body of Christ, and individually members of one another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us in exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to a portion of his faith; if service, in serving; or how he teaches, in his teaching; or his exhorts in his exhortation. He who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted, be dedicated to one another in brotherly kindness. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Oh yes, I'm still going. We're going through the whole chapter. Rejoicing in hope, perseverance in the tribulations, dedicating and devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Carry those burdens, he says. But on the same mind, be on the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in your mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men, if possible, so far as it depends on you. Be at peace with all men. It's not their obligation, it is your obligation to be at peace. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, I say, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil by doing what is good. Why do I read all that? I read all that because those are ways we can dedicate and increase our love and dedication to the Lord. And we have got to be obedient in those things. And we have got to have that self-examination so that you and I can be dedicating ourselves to the Lord. So I close with this. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. For I'm writing these things to you, hoping to come to you before long. But in case I am delayed, I write so that you will know how to conduct yourself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God and the pillar and support of the truth. In context, He says, you need to know what you're doing in this church. You need to have that knowledge. And he breaks it down and gives us the word. So how do we dedicate ourselves to the Lord and increase that? First, we have to have the knowledge. But knowledge doesn't work, just knowledge. But he says, then you have to be obedient and be disciplined in your obedience. And then furthermore, he says, you have to examine yourself properly so that we can keep all these things in line and be increasing in our dedication to the Lord. If you have a need this morning and you have not been dedicating yourself to the Lord, now is the time before it's everlasting too late. And if you're not a Christian, then there's a dedication that needs to take place at your speed. But you don't have forever to get these things right. So if you have a need or need encouragement, now is the time, as the song of encouragement is sung right now.